us. There's no question about that. The Lord gave His all, and His love does constrain us. That's what the Bible does teach. It constrains us to go and to do what God has given us to do. And obviously, we're not all going to the mission field, but we all can have a part in those who are going. And this conference is about that. It is about perhaps that God may call some this week from this congregation to be the next ambassadors for Christ in a foreign field or to a specific people group. And certainly we want God to have His way this week. I waited specifically at this time to introduce Brother Walter Stevens and, of course, his wife, Miss Dolly. And Dolly, if you'll stand for just a moment. We had everyone else stand. And these folks, of course, are no strangers to our church. We are the sending church for Brother Walter and his wife, Dolly Stevens. They came here back in the late 1980s, in the late 1980s, and began to pilot a work among the gypsy population of Northeast Ohio. And I'm very thankful to say that Cleveland Baptist Church at that point had a heart to help them, and we're grateful for that. And of course, Brother Walter left here at a point in time and went down to Florida, and Brother Lawrence Evans picked up the mantle and went on. And we're grateful for that, that the ministry went on. And then as time has gone on, Brother Lawrence and Miss Sally have moved on to Florida. I suspect at some point they're going to end up in Europe as well. I think that just seems to be the trend. You leave Cleveland to go to Florida to end up in Europe. I think that's kind of the way it works when you work with the gypsy population. And then Brother Nick Ivanovich took up the slack here and is now leading the gypsy outreach ministry of the Cleveland Baptist Church. And we're grateful for that. And God just seems to always have a man in place when it's time. But when we thought about this conference this year and knew that Brother Walter was home, I was just convinced of the Lord that he was the man to preach this conference to us. God has enabled him to be a very, very powerful preacher of the Word of God. Every time I hear him preach, I'm greatly stirred by the Lord. And so I'm praying that this week God will do something great in our hearts and our lives. So Brother Walter, you come and open the Word of God. We're so glad that you're here this week to be our speaker.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, I'm excited about being here this week. What an opportunity it is. What an honor to be able to preach from this pulpit, of course, my pastor's pulpit, but of course, the place where Doc Thompson preached for so many years. And I'm excited about this missions conference. Dolly and I have been on the road for 4 months, and so this is the last meeting and the last conference before we fly back to Europe, May the 2nd. Some of you may know, and some of you may not know, that Dolly went through radiation treatment in December. But we have not gotten the results of those treatments until March 19th. We had slipped back into Cleveland just to do some testing, and it has been determined that the nodules in Dolly's lungs are completely gone. And I know that many of you have been praying for Dolly, and we want you to know that your prayers have been answered. The Lord's given her strength. The Lord's given her stamina. This is the longest we have stayed in the States on a furlough. It was 8 months. And we're excited about getting back to Eastern Europe to be with our national pastors and our gypsy people. But I have prayed for this conference and have looked so forward to it. I want to make sure that I extend a thank you to the church for the facilities that you have provided for missionaries to stay at the mission home on both sides, mission homes. And thank you so much. It's such a blessing to have a place to be able to unpack your bags and to call home. The road doesn't get easier, especially when you back from the 1800s. It gets more difficult, but we thank you so much. And of course, the hospitality has been shown to us and the missionaries already. We enjoyed a wonderful meal, and I'm excited about being here. Would you turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 4, and I need you to place a bookmark there. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be going to Philippians chapter 4 to get the points from the message, but once you put a bookmarker there, then I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to start there, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and then we're going to be spending some time in the book of Philippians. Tonight I want to speak on the subject of the abundant joy of being involved in missions. The abundant joy of being involved in missions. Once you place your bookmark at Philippians chapter 4, then I want you to go 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we will draw the points of the message from Philippians 4, but we'll start in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll be reading at verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 8, and we'll read through verse 7. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear a record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence in your love toward us, see that you abound in this grace also. Gracious Heavenly Father, I bow before you this evening in the name of my Savior, your Son, the Lord Jesus, and ask that you would help this preacher. Father, I ask that you hide me behind the cross. I don't want anyone to see or hear Walter Stevens, but I want them to hear the Lord Jesus through the Word of God by the blessed Holy Spirit. I know there are needs that need to be satisfied in this room. Maybe folks who need to be challenged, some who need to be encouraged, and if necessary, by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to make some changes in their Christian walk. If there's someone saved, Father, or someone lost, save them. If there's someone discouraged, encourage them. Father, we love you. We ask that you use us a blessing for your glory and for your honor. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. The abundant joy of being involved in missions. I want you to focus in on the second verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and see what I consider to be an unusual combination of phrases. First, it says how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Now, I don't know about you, but it doesn't seem to me those two phrases go together. Trial of affliction, great trial of affliction, and the abundance of their joy. I don't know about you, but if I'm going through a great trial of affliction, I'm not the happiest guy to be around. Amen? But here, the churches of Macedonia were going through a great trial of affliction, but they had the abundance of their joy. Now, I want you to look at another unusual combination of phrases. And their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. There's an unusual combination. Deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. You see, the Macedonian churches gave to the work of worldwide evangelism because they were rejoicing. What were they rejoicing in? They were rejoicing in the fact that they had met the Master, the Lord Jesus. They had been forgiven of their sins, given the hope of heaven, and it made them happy. It made them rejoice. And even though they were going through great trial of affliction, it was still the abundance of their joy because they met the Savior. Even though they were in deep poverty, watch now, it still abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And as Christians, we are to rejoice, and if we're going to rejoice in any one thing, it is the fact that Jesus saved us, that he's forgave us, and that we're blood-bought, and that we're heaven-bound. You know that I work with some very poor people in Eastern Europe. Our gypsy people are going through greater struggles now more than ever before because the European Union is practically bankrupt if it is not already bankrupt. And I have gypsies who attend our services who know that they may go to bed hungry. They know that they'll probably wake up dirty, and they know that they'll probably die poor. But they know one thing, that when they wake up, they will wake up in the bosom of Jesus. And as a result of that, there are rejoicing people. And there are those in this room who have met those people and can confirm to that fact. We as Christians should rejoice. And the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's like if we didn't get it the first time, Paul wants to tell us again. And whatever we are facing as believers, we are to rejoice always, no matter what. Now, one thing I keep in mind whenever I preach to any group of people is that there's needs out there. There's hurting people, discouraged people, people who maybe need help financially, maybe maritally, maybe in their home, and maybe it's in their spirituality. And so I always keep in mind that my message to try to meet the needs of those people. If you come here this evening, and maybe you're just saying, oh, another missions conference, and I'm filling my obligation, and I'm in my chair, and I'm in my pew, and I'm fulfilling what I am supposed to do. I want to be a blessing to you and try to encourage you through the Word of God. You see, whatever you are facing as believers, we are to rejoice always, no matter what. Watch, church, even in the midst of bad economic times. I won't have you go there for the sake of time, but there's a couple of verses in Habakkuk chapter 3. And Israel was going through a difficult time, and Habakkuk writes these phrases, and he says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, Neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. It doesn't sound real good, does it? Some bad economic times for the people of Israel. But yet he says, Habakkuk says in the 18th verse, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk is saying, no matter what situation I'm going through, I can celebrate and I can rejoice because I belong to Jesus. My Bible says that we are to be content in whatever state we're in, the Apostle Paul said. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, maybe you're here this evening and you're disappointed the way the elections went this past election, and you're disappointed that your candidate didn't get put into office. May I remind you tonight that our king never comes up for re-election and his term never expires. We serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's sovereign. It means he rules and he reigns with divine supremacy. And you say tonight, preacher, what is it that we can rejoice about? And tonight, with the theme of the message, the abundant joy of being involved in worldwide evangelism, I want you to go to Philippians chapter 4. And we'll draw our thoughts for the points of the message tonight of what it is that we can rejoice about as a church. Pastor's already mentioned over four decades of faith, promise, missions, giving. To calculate the amount of monies, it would be astronomical to think about how much has been given to the work of evangelism and the ministry that Cleveland Baptist Church has around the world and has had for several decades. I believe that we can draw from these thoughts something that can be a blessing to you, but also a challenge to those who need to be challenged. Now, as we look at Philippians chapter 4, and we'll draw our points from this chapter, I want you to understand that when we come to Philippians chapter 4, it is almost like a missionary writing back to one of his churches. And a missionary writing back to encourage his church, and I believe that's what Paul is doing. I believe not only that Paul is the father of the church at Philippi, as he says of one church, he travailed in Christ, travailed in birth until Christ was formed in them. Not only do I believe he was the father of the church at Philippi, but I believe he became one of their supported missionaries, and you'll see that as we get into these verses. Number one, here's the first thing that you as a church can rejoice about. You can rejoice that for over four decades, you have cared for God's servants. I want you to look at the 10th verse with me in Philippians chapter 4. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful but lacked opportunity. I believe the phrase lacked opportunity. Remember, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is talking about these churches, Philippi, who was in deep poverty. They lacked opportunity. They wanted to do more, but the opportunities didn't come up because of financial burdens. But watch what Paul says to this church. He's rejoicing now. As a missionary being cared for, he says, now at the last, your care of me, through your missions giving, you have cared for God's servants. You have met their physical need. Look at verses 12 through 15. I know, here's the missionary, I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full, both to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, what does that mean, communicate? Did they send him a greeting card? No, you'll find it in verse 15. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated. There's that phrase again, that word again, with me. And here's the definition, as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. The word communicate means share. Philippi was sharing out of their resources, taking care of the Apostle Paul, making sure that he had food to eat, making sure that he had clothes to wear, and Cleveland Baptist Church for over four decades has taken care of your missionaries. Our family, you have literally fed us and clothed us and housed us. You put gas in our car. And by the way, in Eastern Europe, it's $8 a gallon. Don't want to hear anybody complain about the price of gas in America. Dolly and I whistle to the pumps here. But you've taken care of us. Because of you, your missionaries have abounded when they were abased. Because of you, you made them full when they were hungry. Because of you, you shared to meet their affliction. That's the word the Apostle Paul says here. And he uses another word in verse 16. For even Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. The afflictions of the Apostle Paul was his burden. The necessities was his necessary duty. Paul says out of necessity he had to preach the gospel. And Philippi was stepping up to the plate to meet the missionaries' needs. I don't think it's a stretch to say that the sun never sets upon the ministries of Cleveland Baptist Church. That when you are sleeping in the wee hours of the morning, missionaries that you support are presenting you on the foreign field, reaching the people that God has called us to reach, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And so, church, you have something to rejoice about, that you've cared for God's servants. Number two, I want you to look at the 13th verse with me, please. The Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Not only can you rejoice that you cared for God's servants, you can rejoice that you can continue by the strength that only God can give. Now, I know that we talk about economic bad times, and maybe you're thinking here that you can't be involved again in the faith promise commitment. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you've been demoted. Maybe things aren't going as well as they did last year when you committed. One of the things that I hate most about counseling is when I have someone before me who says, I can't. They'll tell me, I can't take that man anymore. Or I can't take that woman anymore. Or I can't take that job anymore. Well, my Bible says, I can. I can, not in my power, not with my wisdom, not with my charisma. No, it's maybe possible that you can't in your own power, but through the power that Christ can give, watch church, you can, even in the midst of bad economic times, because that's what Philippi did. They did it in deep poverty. Now, I don't believe there's anybody in this room in deep poverty. Matter of fact, I believe there's poverty in America, but there's not deep poverty. You say, wait a minute, Brother Stevens, there are people who have to go to places to get their meals, and there are people who live on the streets. You know, I believe that we have enough things, enough mechanisms in place in our American government that nobody has to go hungry and nobody has to go homeless. And they were in deep poverty, but they can do it through the strength that Christ can give. And maybe you're thinking about cutting back. Well, let me remind you, it's called faith promise. It's not about that it fits into the budget. And Paul reprimands the church of Corinth for not keeping its promise to give. But he commends Philippi, a poor church, for giving in the midst of very bad economic times. They gave to their power, Paul said, and they gave beyond their power. Giving beyond their power means they gave by the power and the strength that only God can supply. Now, I'm going to surprise you with something, church, tonight. God does not expect something from you that you do not have. God does not expect something from you that you do not have. Watch now, but God does expect something from you that you do have. It is unlike the character of God to demand something from you that you do not have. I think one of the best illustrations is when Elijah had prayed for it not to rain, and had not rained for over 3 years. And there was famine in the land because of a wicked king and his wicked wife. And Elijah was the man of the hour, and God had sustained him supernaturally. But if you remember when the water brooks were drying up, God sent Elijah to the widow of Zarephath. You remember that story? And do you remember what the widow woman was doing when Elijah walked up to her? She was gathering some sticks, but she was going to make a cake, and her little son were going to die. Remember that story? Now, when I read some of the Bible stories, I kind of like jump in, and I picture that little boy in my mind. And if you've ever seen the infomercials about organizations raising money to feed poor children, you usually see those children with inflated stomachs, you know? It looks like their heads are swollen, but they're really not. It's just that their faces are shrunken in. And I pictured this boy, and I picture him looking like that. But I picture that mama looks even worse, because if there was any food, she gave it to Junior. Amen. Now, here's what Elijah says. He comes up to her. Now, remember, God knows. Elijah knows what God called him. He said, go to the widow Zarephath and watch. God told him that he will be sustained there. Sustained. Now, the widow woman didn't know it. Now, here's what Elijah says to her. First, he says, fetch me some water. And by the way, water was a rare commodity in those days. There was a drought in the land. And as she goes to fetch him some water, he says, make me a little cake first. Oh, the audacity of that missionary. Literally taking food from the mouth of a hungry child. Amen? But here's what Elijah knew, that God was going to sustain him there. Now, what did the widow woman know? No, she knew that that was Elijah. Everybody knew who Elijah was. Now, what did the widow woman do? She made Elijah two cakes? No, she didn't have the means to make two cakes, but she made a cake for Elijah. What did she do? She gave to Elijah that which she had. Trusting God and trusting in the man of God. And God blessed her gift. And the Bible says that the barrel of meal did not waste and the cruse of oil did not empty until the famine was lifted from the land. Here's what God expects from us. He expects that which we do have and to give it by faith. Number one, you can rejoice that you've cared for God's servants. Number two, you can rejoice that you can continue by God's strength. And look at verse 14. Paul says to this church, to this faithful giving church, notwithstanding, you have well done that you have did communicate with my affliction. Now, whether that was the Apostle Paul or whether that was the Holy Spirit himself, this is the inspired word of God, is it not? And so here Paul says to this church, you have well done. I would venture to say that we have an auditorium filled with believers who are living their lives, working, anticipating to hear that divine accolade when they stand before their Savior, to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Be thou ruler over many things. Enter the joy of your Lord. We're all longing to hear that. Amen? Well, I want you to notice that Philippi got to hear that accolade this side of eternity. Whether it was Paul, whether it was God, it was the same. Notwithstanding, you have well done. And Paul gives the commendation of well done to a church by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And I believe the Holy Spirit would say to Cleveland Baptist Church, well done, you have the commendation of your Savior. You have been faithful. You can rejoice in the fact that you can hear well done now, but you can rejoice in the fact that when you stand before your Savior, because of your faithfulness to worldwide evangelism, satisfying the mandate of God to reach the lost, that he will say to you, well done. Number four, I want you to look at verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You can rejoice that you can count on an abundance of souls placed into your account in heaven. You see, the wise and faithful child of God invest expecting eternal dividends, not necessarily earthly. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust thus corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust thus corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. There are those of you who have been faithful to the faith promise for many years, investing in every time a special offering taken up for a missionary, you've given, and sometimes you've given sacrificially. And as a result, you can count on an abundance of souls that placed into your account. And in heaven, those souls will come up to you and tap you on the shoulder and say, thank you for giving to the Lord. Because of your prayers and because of your financial investment, you sent a missionary to Kenya, or you sent a missionary to the Ivory Coast, or you sent a missionary to Hungary. And because of your prayers and because of your finances, I'm here in heaven. And you can rejoice that you can count on an abundance of souls. You say, Brother Stevens, that verse says, not because I desire a gift. We have missionaries who will parade this platform, and they come here, Brother Stevens, expecting support. They come here even expecting a love offering. How could you say that they don't desire a gift? Well, here's what a missionary knows if he's really called of God. That if you don't meet his need, another church down the road will. And the Apostle Paul knew that by experience, because Corinth had already failed to meet his need, but his needs got met through the churches of Macedonia. And you can rejoice that souls have been placed into your account. Number five, you can rejoice that your charity is acceptable. It's an acceptable sacrifice. Look at verse 18. Here's what every missionary wants to say. Look at it. But I have all. I think everybody wants to say that. Amen. But I have all and abound. I am full, receiving of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Cleveland Baptist Church, your charity is an acceptable sacrifice. This is God telling you, God's definition of faith promise. the cards will be distributed and there will be denominations and you'll have opportunities to check an amount. It's like a ballot. If you give less than when you gave last year, you're saying you want to take the missions program back. You're voting to take it back. You give the same, you're voting to keep it where it's at. But if you increase your faith promise, you're saying, Brother Stevens, I believe that Jesus is coming soon, and I'm going to vote to give more because I believe the trumpet will sound soon. And your sacrifice, here's God's definition of a person who really understands the times that in which we live and the urgency there is to get the gospel around the world. And here's what God says about your faith promise. It's an odor of a sweet smell. It's a sacrifice acceptable. Watch now. Well pleasing to God. When I think about the long suffering of God and what rises from this planet up to his holy nostrils, I believe a lot that what he senses down on this planet literally makes him sick. And if you study the word abomination, that's what it means. Matter of fact, there's even a verse that God says he'll spew, he'll vomit. But faith promise, missions giving is a sacrifice. It's an odor of a sweet smell, and it's well pleasing to God. Cleveland Baptist Church, you can rejoice that your charity is an acceptable sacrifice to God. You can rejoice that you have the claim of the promise of God to supply your need. Look at verse 19. And by the way, verse 19 is probably the second most popular verse to the body of Christ, second only to John 3:16. Many of you can quote it from memory. Some of you have a cross stitched hanging on your wall. What does it say? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In the Bible, there are conditional promises and there are unconditional promises. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what? Thou shalt be saved. That's an unconditional promise. Nothing attached. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're born again. You're on your way to heaven. Nothing else needs to be done. But look at this verse. In the context in which it was given to a church who was faithful to give to the work of worldwide evangelism. This is a conditional promise. If you're not involved in giving to the work of worldwide evangelism. And by the way, it's not the amount. The amount is between you and God. The tithe is already figured out for you. But the faith promises your liberty. As you pray and seek the heart and mind of God of how you'll be involved in faith promise. And if you are giving as the church at Philippi was giving to faith promise, then this promise belongs to you. It needs to be taken within the context in which it was given. It's a corporate promise. It belongs to the church, but I believe you can claim it individually if you're involved. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I look around what God has given us here at Cleveland Baptist Church. Its properties, its facility, its staff. Its opportunities, its renown around the world as a mission agency, sending missionaries and reaching souls locally and abroad simultaneously at the same time. And I believe that God has supplied the needs of this church because of its direct involvement in faith promise missions giving. And then finally, number 7, rejoice that your commitment has been saluted. I want you to go to the 20th verse. And we'll read down to verse 23. And unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. Now look at this phrase, verse 22. All the saints salute you. Chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Look at verse 22 again. All the saints salute you. Here Paul is writing to this church, and he's commending them. Here's what he's saying. Hats off to you, Philippi. You have been saluted. All the saints salute you. They were saluted by the brethren because it says, the brethren which are with me greet you. It is known and saluted internationally. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The salutation here is of God that if we're faithful to the cause of worldwide evangelism, we can have the commitment that we are saluted by the brethren. Well, do you think that we have something to celebrate? Because of over 4 decades Maybe you came here tonight discouraged. Let me remind you that Paul says to the church of Philippi, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Maybe there are some here this evening who are not rejoicing. You think missions is overrated. You think it's overemphasized. Maybe you're thinking about not participating this year or even lowering your faith promise. Let's not forget the mandate of our Lord Jesus Christ to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And some would sing the song, Send the Light. But you know what? To send the light, someone has to pay the light bill. Amen? Thank the Lord for a faithful church as yours.